And Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. It's Ryan again.
Hey, Ryan.
Glad to hear your voice.
Likewise.
This is Seven Secrets Revisited. We're going to go back over a couple issues that I thought were really important that I believe we didn't go deep enough on. Is there anything on your mind, or can I jump right into what I'd like to talk about?
You're the publisher.
You're so kind. I think a little sarcastic too, right? In the last podcast, sorry, not the last podcast, I believe it was Secret 6, we talked about apparent failure and how apparent failure is really just illusion because we're relying on our physical senses to decide whether or not the source has delivered what we were asking for in the first place. Is that an accurate paraphrase?
Wow, would you try and restate that again just the way you said it or as closely as you can?
Sure. What I said was that apparent failure is really just an illusion of us interpreting what our senses are telling us rather than trusting what the source has told us. And, for example, it could be spiritual healing or healing of some physical nature as well that we don't see the results in, and we're relying on what we see rather than what the source has told us is the truth.
Yeah, there's no greater example of that than somebody that wants to be healed and keeps focusing on their disease and says, I'm not getting healed. That's an apparent failure.
Yeah, and I guess the more they say that, the more they're reinforcing the failure end of it as opposed to the truth.
Yeah, and if it's something that's really going on in the spirit realm, meaning something that forces that are wanting them to remain that way, then they're just speaking defeat. And it's like giving up and saying, okay, I lose. The enemy that is already defeated, but you're just allowing him to give the advantage, if that makes sense.
Well, that does make sense. Yeah, and I think that a lot of people rely on how they feel when they get up in the morning to allow them to decide what the rest of the day is going to be like, rather than going to the source and saying, well, what's my day? What's the possibilities for my day?
That's good. Oh, that's wonderful. What an exciting thought. That's getting connected to our source. What possibilities do you have for me today that I should be looking for? And instead we choose the garbage.
Right. Well, we're a little fuzzy in the head maybe when we wake up, and maybe we decide that what the perceived reality is, which is that pain in my neck or that hunger in my belly, is actually the truth of what's going on for me, and it's not real, though, is it?
Oh, and it's just like I think I've said on one podcast that I wake up every morning almost, or often at least, just sensing or feeling no faith at all. So my first task for me is to get connected.
Right. I start that way, my day that way also, Brad. You know, I'm thinking, though, about people who have what I'm going to call chronic pain that they have been dealing with for a long period of time. And I'm wondering, you know, can we escape this pain through some sort of prayer or, you know, I mean, some people go through some really rough stuff. And I'm wondering, you know, if I'm healed in the spirit, well, can't I just stay in the spirit world a little longer? Is that a possibility, or is this a pipe dream?
I've told you before that my bottom line goes to one thing. My bottom line is, what did Jesus say? Always, that's what I look to. And either I'm going to pay attention to what he said, or I can forget the whole thing as far as I'm concerned. But what he said was, nothing is impossible to those who believe enough. And I can't stress or say this enough, but the operative term is enough. If you believe enough, nothing is impossible to you. Period. End. That's what his statement is. That's the promise.
Okay.
Now, we've in the last several podcasts, we've kind of gone all over the place, and if we want to go deeply enough, there's a place we have to go deeply enough. There's the promise. You want to claim the promise? My mind's immediately going to a gal that had one of these muscular diseases like dystrophy, where you lose all your strength, your neck starts to fall, and can't can't hold up your arms, you don't have any strength in your hands or anything until finally you die from it.
Right.
Okay. She was, were diagnosed as being, having one of these, and it was terminal for 4 years, and she wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give up. She was in her 30s, wouldn't give up. And everybody was trying to get her to give up. And she'd heard about me, and her husband gave me a call and asked if I would mind visiting with them. And what he wanted to do was to prove to her that she couldn't at all continue doing what she was doing. You know, that she needed to give up and let God take over. And so we got together, and I said, well, excuse me, but I think she's on the right track. And together, we're going to get through this. And he looked at me, and he was amazed. And I said, you know, here's the promise. You believe in Jesus? And he said, oh, well, yes, of course. You know, that's what I want her to do, just accept whatever God's will. And I said, well, I'm glad you said that. Jesus said the will of God is that she be healed. And the only purpose for the enemy, the only purpose of the enemy's coming, according to Jesus, is to kill our bodies and to steal our faith. So I'm going to be blunt with you. Who are you serving? Are you serving the will of Jesus in this, or are you serving the will of the enemy who wants to kill her? Well, she looked at him, he looked at her, and he looked at me, and he says, oh, wow, that's kind of amazing. Wow. And within 3 months, this gal was totally healed. Totally.
Wow.
True story. Isn't that exciting?
That's very exciting.
4 years kept just going downhill, and everybody was trying to get her to accept it. All of her friends were Christians. Who were they serving?
Was she able to escape to the kingdom, so to speak, when she was under extreme duress or prayer? Or?
You know, that's something I remember you bringing up, and not that I know of.
Mm.
She was suffering. She loved me.
Mm.
And, of course, my question as is always, I said, well, you know, do you want to be healed? She said, oh, yes, I do. And I said, okay, well, first off, let's make a declaration. You are healed. And that's so difficult when you're in pain. And I told her this. I said, it's very hard to stand by yourself when you're in this much pain. And she was suffering a lot of pain. And a lot of confusion, a lot of weakness and all that. You could hardly hold her head up and all this stuff, you know. I said, here's all your friends. You know, and I said this in front of her husband. I said, your own husband is telling you, you know, that you need to give up. And so it's very hard to stand. Well, I'm here to stand with you. I'm glad you guys called. Well, people don't see that. What's wrong with the picture? Can you tell me where I was wrong?
Well, I'd have to say that woman was Christ in Nazareth, and it was very difficult for her to perform a miracle with all those unbelievers.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. That's really true. And as we stand together, you and I have had experiences like this, that where we've asked and we've talked and we've done stuff, and when we go together, we stand together, we generally get results.
And fast, too.
Yeah, remarkably fast.
Yeah.
Except it isn't remarkable. We should expect it.
We should.
You know, when you stop and think, but why should we ever be amazed? We should be amazed at the stupidity and the stubbornness of people to accept what Jesus said is true. You know, he's either a liar, and let's forget the whole thing, or what he said is true. And in my experience, and I believe in your experience, what he said is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you're standing by yourself, it's kind of tough sometimes.
It is, especially if you're surrounded by unbelief.
Yeah, if you're surrounded by people who refuse to believe. They make the choice not to believe. You know, not too long ago, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, you kind of made me take a second look at saying, I'm perfect. You know, when somebody asked me a question and you were talking about it was an intellectual decision, and I had to admit that I was making doctrine of it. But you know, it just triggered in me, but wait a minute. You know, it's making that declaration. It's with this tongue, it's with the mouth that we make confession unto salvation, and that word in that context means completion. If we want our healing to be complete, that's where it has to start. You know, we have, the declaration has to be made, and if we don't make the declaration, then we're allowing the opposite to come along.
I would agree with that statement, and I also agree that the thoughts that are put in your head by the enemy, the accuser, if they come out of your mouth, well, then you're making them real, aren't you? Because the accuser, he doesn't have the creative power that God gave to us, and so he needs us to use our minds and our mouths.
Oh, my word. Do you realize what you just said?
Oh, I'm very clear on what I said. And so he needs us to use our minds and our mouths to create things that he can't create. All he can do is whisper garbage into our ears, and then foolish people who don't know any better will repeat it and actually repeat it out loud over and over until it becomes,
you know,
their doctrine.
That's so right on. I've never heard it put that way before. It's beautiful. That's it. That's exactly it. The only power is something I had revealed to me once, and I don't remember quite how, but is that the only power they have, the only power spirits have, the agents of our enemy have, are to lie to our minds.
Yeah.
And the creative power of God resides in our minds if they're renewed by Christ.
Yeah.
This is exciting. We're having church, my friend. This is just good stuff.
Well, hold on there. I take exception to one thing that you added on the end. If they're renewed by Christ, well, I'm going to suggest to you that a mind does not have to be used by Christ, or sorry, renewed by Christ to be used by a spirit.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. How did I differ with that?
You put an if in there, and an if to me is a qualifier.
Oh, I got you. No,
And I want to remove that qualifier and say that the truth is that every human being walking on the face of this planet has creative power. And
okay.
They can use their creative power to build or to tear down.
Yeah, okay.
And that's totally up to them which voice they want to listen to and which voice they want to allow out of their mouth. Because it starts in the mind and then comes out of the mouth. And the truth is that that creative power, once spoken, is 10 times more powerful. Then if you add emotion to it, oh my gosh, 100 times more powerful.
Sure, there's a whole science, what's it called, neuro-linguistics or something like that, that employs emotion and imagery and speaking all in one. Isn't it called neurolinguistic?
They do. Yeah, neurolinguistic programming. There is a science to do that.
Yeah. Right.
It's based on a psychiatrist named Erickson, I believe.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, so you led us to another conversation that I kind of wanted to have based on one of our previous podcasts as well, and that is imagery. What images are good, so to speak, or effective? I shouldn't say good. That's a very judgmental word. Effective. When we take a judgment or an anger or a bitterness and cast it into the sea, what images can we use to create? So, for example, if I had a conflict with my good friend and I held a picture in my mind of my good friend and I yelling at each other and I cast that into sea, aren't I also casting me and my friend into the sea? You know, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So.
You must have a suggestion in your mind to counter that.
Well, actually, that's why I'm asking the question, because I don't, and I can remember a conflict that I had with a very close friend of mine that keeps coming up for me that I'd like to get rid of, but the only thing I can do is picture in my mind me and that friend arguing. How do I separate me and my friend from the argument in an image? Because if visualization and casting that visualization into the sea is my key to release, then how do I form the, help me out here.
All right, I'm not going to help you out, but I'll share with you what I was just given, because I prayed, what do we do? How do we do? And what I heard in my spirit was shine light on it. And all of a sudden, I saw a bright light. Have you ever seen tungsten burn?
Yes.
Okay, well, that brightness, that holy mackerel brightness, shine that on it, because we're back to, you have the creative power of your mind. And so I believe what God is telling us is to shine that light on that. Get rid of it. Just dispense the darkness of the enemy right now, instead of looking at the memory you had of this good friend of yours and you in conflict shine brightness on, shine the love of God on it, just the brightest light you can do, and continue to shine on it until it's dispelled. And I'm just doing it now with something, and I'm able to do that. It's crazy. I've never thought of that. Thank you, Daddy.
Okay.
That makes sense for you, or is that just for me?
You know, I was looking for something different, but I'm going to have to say I'll give it a try. How about that?
Hey, every time you've done that, you've done pretty well, which brings me to something.
Okay.
You said you'd give something a try. You were honestly resisting, and you finally kind of gave up at the end of one of the podcasts when I came on about not having to die by faith. Instead of death, we can live in the kingdom right now and never die. And you really took me on, and you said science, and you said the Bible and science were against me, how could you believe it, and so on. And knowing you, you were very sincere, but you finally went off into the distance, and I'm taking a risk here, but I want our listeners, and I want to hear, you said you'd work on that. So have you worked on that, and have you come up with anything different than the mindset you had?
Well, actually, I have done some work on it, and boy, talk about shining a light. The light that I got on this issue is that any time I'm in the kingdom, there is no death for me. But that's just one place. I can believe to not ever die, and I don't have to die. And I'm 100% confident of that fact now, because that's what I believe that the source is telling me. I don't have to die, ever. And it's a choice. And it came to me in a very strange way. I was combing my hair in the mirror after a shower, and I was noticing, as I from time to time do, that I don't have any gray hair. Even though, at close to 50, 99% of my peers have gray hair. And I said, Dad, how come I don't have any gray hair? And I heard, because you're going to live forever. To hear the rest of this story, go to 7 Secrets Revisited, podcast part 2.